Got to get a mic where we can hear you. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Exodus, if you would. Exodus chapter number 15. Boy, it's sweet when the Lord shows up, ain't it? Exodus chapter number 15. Keep your Bibles out tonight. I'm not going to preach very long, but I want to give you something that I think will help you. As far as points, I only have two tonight. And somebody said I preached a record-breaking short message this morning. But I don't know how long it was, but I preached my heart out, boy. I felt the Lord just loving on me. But that's sweet when you can feel His touch. Amen. Exodus chapter number 15. If you're there, say amen. Exodus chapter 15, look with me at verse number 23. Let me bring you up to speed in case you're not aware of what's going on. Moses has led God's children out of bondage. They're down in Egypt and they're slaves, if you will. That's exactly what they are. And the Bible said that the people, the Egyptians that they worked for, were hard taskmasters. That means they were cruel to them. They were living in cruelty, making bricks for the Egyptians. They were slaves. God sends Moses to go and free His people. And of course, most of you know the story. Moses leads the children of Israel out of bondage into freedom, into the wilderness. Pharaoh's army chases them. God parts the Red Sea. They see miracle after miracle. Pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. They go on. They get the manna from heaven, the quail from heaven, the water out of a rock. I mean, God just works miraculously over and over and over in the lives of the children of Israel. Would you agree? Now, I want you to also admit God works miraculously in our lives. Yes, I've never seen a sea parted, but I've seen a soul saved. Yes, I've never seen bread fall out of heaven, but I've seen a marriage restored. Amen. We've seen God do some great and mighty things. And I want you to notice how often we respond like the Israelites do. In verse number 23, they're going down through there, and the Bible said, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Y'all remember Naomi. In the book of Ruth, when she went home, she said, call me no more Naomi, but call me Mara, because God had dealt bitterly with me. The place was called Mara. Now watch this, verse 24. And the people, say it, murmured. You know what that is, don't you? Complain. Murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them. Now I want you to notice a couple of things tonight and we'll go to the house. Times of bitterness is coming. I don't care who you are, there are going to be days. Everybody's going to have a bad day. Do you understand that? The very best of us, the holiest of us are going to have a bad day. And probably the harder you're trying to do right, the more bad days you're going to have. Because if you ain't giving the devil no trouble, he's probably not going to give you none. Would you agree with that? Somebody said, I had it easier before I got saved. Sure you did. The devil had no reason to bother you. The devil had no reason to bring temptation or any of these things in your life. But hey, once we're saved, you better know we're going to deal with it. You say, what's the good about being a Christian if you're going to have to deal with trouble? I'm going to heaven when I die. And I got the Lord walking with me even through the trouble that I face day in and day out. Can I get a witness right there? This message or the message of these verses is that the Lord, in His goodness, is able to take the bitter experiences of life and fill them with His glorious sweetness. Amen. Hey, He didn't bring them another pond. He fixed the one where they were. Are y'all okay? God took, He threw that tree in. Hey, by the way, is a wonderful picture of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He threw that tree in, and that tree changed that bitterness that was causing them to murmur and complain. If I had been God And I started hearing them complaining and murmuring, and I'd have said, thirst to death. But Moses prayed. God showed him a tree and said, throw that tree in the water and it'll be all right. And the water wasn't just changed from being not bitter, it was made sweet. Same water that was there before. Let me say it again. God didn't give them another pond. He fixed the one where we're at. Amen. I know men who have been having trouble at home, so they look for another wife. You don't need another pond. You need the one fixed where you're at. I know men who have left their house and their home and their children because they're not getting along with their wife. You don't need another wife. You need the situation fixed where you are now. Sometimes if we'd make up our mind, I'm not going anywhere, I'm not doing anything, to whatever this is straightened out. Whatever this bitter experience I'm facing in my life, I'm not going one step further till this is right. Amen. Now listen, the Lord said, in this world, John chapter number 16, ye shall have tribulation. It's coming. There ain't nobody. Look, go over to Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs chapter number, no, I'm sorry, 14. 14 and verse number 10. We might as well accept the fact that the Mara or the bitter experiences are coming. That tribulation, we talked about it the other week, come in all size, shape, and form. It could come in heartache. It could come in trouble. It could come in hurt feelings. Man, if you allow bitterness to build up in your life, it'll destroy you. Yes, amen. God don't want you getting bitter. God wants you getting better. Yes, amen. We've had a lot of hardness and things going on in our church, people dealing with and going through stuff. Hey, I don't want to see you get bitter. Amen. Worst thing you can do is get mad and blame it on God. Yes, amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 10. The Bible said, the heart knoweth his own, say it with me, bitterness. And a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. Listen, we're going to know bitterness. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Hey, listen, we should not be at all shocked when we have a problem. It should not overwhelm us. If we have a great service on Sunday morning and people get saved, you might as well be ready for it on Monday morning. It seems to be that way. It seems like the better the services are, the bigger the fight afterward. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, boy, it seemed like the Lord blessing. I mean, people crying in the altar and people getting saved. And the next day, y'all okay? I mean, the very next day, here he comes with his pitchfork in hand. You know what he's trying to do? Mess up what God just did. Amen. The proving, point number one, that we must anticipate. What I'm saying is expect it. Expect it to go wrong. Yeah. Yes, sir. Expect not to have everybody's stamp of approval on your life. Yes, sir. Expect them to make fun of you at work. Yeah. Y'all okay? Yeah. After a great blessing, always expect trial. Yeah. It's proving you. God says, okay, was what happened in your heart at church yesterday real? Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. I'll take down the hedge and let the devil at you a little bit. Yeah. Let's see if you really got changed. Yeah. And how often do we show ourselves? Uh-huh. We're no better or no different than the children of Israel. Listen, the proving, we must anticipate. We must anticipate the trouble to come. But let's get strong enough and godly enough to where the trouble don't take us out. Amen. Man, I don't ever want to lose a single one of you. I want you to make it. I want you to make it in your marriages. I want you to make it in your relationship. I want you to make it in your church. I want us to grow old together. I'm just doing that quicker than some of you. Amen. I'm serious. Me and Brother Charles are growing old together. Amen. I can remember when he didn't have gray hair. Did you know this month? This is this month, ain't it? This month will be 22 years he and I have been serving God together. 22 years. The applause is for him. 22 years he's put up with me. 22 years. You reckon we ever had a disagreement? 22 years. Never had an argument. He chewed me out one time, and I deserved it. And I didn't say a word, but yes, sir. Amen. That's my elder right there. I look up to Charles Dyer. 22 years. You know what we've had to do? We've had to go through difficult times together. We've had to walk through hardness together. Let me ask you a question. In 22 years, you think the devil has never said, you ought to just quit that mess? You think in 22 years he hadn't done it to me? I've resigned this church 100 times. I just ain't never told y'all about it. The devil will crawl up on my pillow and say, they tired of hearing you. They've heard all your stories. They know all your jokes. Look at there. Nobody came to the altar. It's going in one ear and out the other. You go off and preach all over the country and people fill up the altars. You go home, preach. They don't move. See, God's done with you. Y'all okay? I get that on a regular basis. I got feelings too. Y'all all right? Amen. But what I've got to do is realize who the enemy is and recognize him for what he is. I mean, the Holy Spirit can blow through here and God bless in such a mighty way, and the next day, the very next day, the devil's saying, God's done with you. You ain't doing them people no good. I got to recognize him for who he is. I got to expect or anticipate the proving, the test, the trial. I've got to anticipate that. But I've also got to make up my mind. When it comes, I'm not going to lose the fight. Amen. Is this making any sense?
Yes, sir, it is.
I want us to look at three instances in the Bible where somebody could have got bitter, but instead they got better. They could have got bitter, but instead they got better. Here in the story we're looking at, the Israelites come to this place called Marah, and they found the waters were bitter, and they reacted in such a strange way. Moses had never been there. He was just following God. The waters were bitter before they arrived. But when they got there and found out that the water was undrinkable, who did they blame? Moses. I imagine Moses is like, I didn't have nothing to do with that. No, they wasn't shouting about the parting of the Red Sea. They wasn't shouting about the manna and the meal. They wasn't shouting about the quail and the fire and the cloud and the water. No, they were murmuring. Can you imagine there's about 5 million of them? Not just two or three. Several million people murmuring. I bet it sounded like a dull roar. Wonder if Moses felt any pressure. It got so bad one time he prayed for God to kill him. Because no matter what he did, he couldn't make these people happy. Amen. Part the Red Sea? Nah. It was good till the next problem came. The manna falling out of the sky. Can you imagine Martin's biscuits just falling out of the sky? Amen. Yeah. Amen. Can you imagine that? And you know what they did after a few days of it? Started griping. It's raining biscuits and they're griping. I bet they was buttered too. Amen. They're witnessing a miracle and complaining. I'm tired of this bread. Can you imagine Moses' position? That's a pastor right there. I can see him standing there going, there's bread falling out of the sky, and they're complaining. I'm that way. I'm like the Holy Spirit's blowing through here like a mighty rushing wind. And people are getting right and people are getting fixed and people are getting help. And I mean, this was one of the greatest places to be. And anywhere I know, I'm telling you, God is doing something. And then, wrong response. Right response maybe would have been, Moses, this water ain't no good. You reckon you've been getting hold of God? Reckon you could call on God for us?
Amen.
See if God couldn't give us some water? Wonder if God would do that? Well, that sounds a little better, don't it? Amen. I thought about, we'll talk about these three instances right here. What happens, they begin to murmur and complain and fret. Do you know why we do that? I do it. You do it. I guarantee you do. I promise you in a couple of months you're going to be griping about the heat. I guarantee it. And all I've heard for 2 weeks is I'm sick of this wet weather. I'm ready. It's coming. We complain about it. We murmur about everything in the world, don't we? I do. It's too hot. It's too cold. I'm like Brother William. I walk around my house, plow, cutting off lights. I just can't cut off a light. Put the instructions about it. Down. Push button down. Amen. We murmur about everything. Simple little things we fuss and gripe about. Amen. The reason we do it is because we're looking at our circumstances instead of our God. We've got our eyes on our problems instead of our God. What the devil will do, he'll take a little bitter water. Just a little pond. He'll take a little bitter water and make you forget a parting of a sea. He'll magnify that little circumstance bigger than the miracles that he's already done in your life. Does that make any sense? That little bitter water all of a sudden overshadows that well of water I have springing up in me in the everlasting life. Amen. This little situation has become bigger than my salvation.
Amen.
In our circumstance, we've got to keep our eyes on God. Peter was out there walking on the sea with the Lord. People talk about him sinking because he took his eyes off the Lord. Man, I give him credit for getting out the boat. But he did not begin to have trouble till he quit looking at God and started looking at the waves. Our problem is we got an eye full of wave and none of Jesus. Amen. Some of you are wallowing in a circumstantial mess. Some people do it because they like it. Some people know no other way. Griping is their way of life. I know we're on the internet. That just limits me to so much stuff I can say. I spent a lot of time in the home of a certain lady growing up as a kid. And she was always on the warpath. I mean, it never would she say, go clean your room. No. Go clean your room! I just screaming. Oh, man. By the time I would leave that house and get back home, I just felt so, I don't know, depressed. That's all she did was gripe. Never did she say anything positive. She's the most negative person. Did you know negativity is a sin? Amen. My grandmother used to say, if you can't say something good, don't say nothing at all. Amen. I learned some valuable lessons. God put some great people in my path. We were eating supper one time in Pennsylvania, a bunch of us preachers, and Brother Earl Hughes, my hero, was there. And these young preachers sitting around the table, one of them started, did you hear about Brother so-and-so, somebody who messed up and went out in sin? And the other one said, no, I didn't hear. And he started filling in the details. And it was back and forth and back and forth. And I was watching them, and I was watching Brother Earl. Brother Earl set down his fork, and he said, pray for him. He is a good man. You could have heard a pin drop. Brother Earl didn't fuss at him. He just slapped the table and said, pray for him. He's a good man. You know what them two young preachers realized? We have just sat here with an opportunity to glean wisdom from one of the wisest men of God on the planet. And we've sat here and wasted all that time gossiping about another preacher. You could feel the conviction. It was heavy. I started to give altar call. Amen. Sometimes we just need hush. Amen. I remember one time my granddaddy, he didn't say no whole lot. He had sat on the back porch, screened in porch, and listened to the Braves on the AM radio. Why he did that, he had a TV in the house. He would rather sit out there, shake his tea glass, and listen to the Braves. And my grandmother was in the kitchen. I don't know what she was griping about. She didn't gripe a whole lot. But this particular day, she was on a warpath. And she was running. He wasn't even paying her no attention. You could hear her in the kitchen. All of a sudden, Papa stopped his rocking chair and said, "Hetty, hush. Son, the cows stop eating." I mean, it's like when Papa spoke. Every now and then, we just need to hush. Amen. You ever catch yourself and go, "Man, I wish I hadn't said that. I just need to hush my mouth." The Bible said, study to be quiet. Amen. Amen. I thought about a little lady in the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Her name was Hannah. Hannah was barren. She couldn't have a child. Hannah was bitter over the fact that Hannah couldn't have a child. I think about every time I read about Hannah, I think about Brother Eric and Miss Stacy up and down in Texas. And over the years in this church, and now since they've been ministering in Texas and pastoring down there, I think about every time Stacy sees a mother with a new baby. I can't help but wonder, and she's a godly lady, and she may not feel this way, but I guarantee you there's been times when they've thought, why can't we have one of those? Have a hard time being happy for somebody else because of what you're not allowed to have. Isn't that natural? And I think about this, I think about them every time. And I've been praying for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. God, give that couple, however long it's been, God, give them a baby. But you know inside their hearts and that sometimes the devil just take a new baby in the church, and Brother Eric's got to get that new baby and introduce it to the church. And you know in his heart sometimes I wonder if he don't feel, Then he looks at them crackheads out there having babies. And these dope heads, these people having, these people like brood mares having babies just to get more money out of the government. Are y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Man, they delivering babies. I probably can't say nothing about that. Anyway, man, these babies that don't even go home with mama. Can you imagine how that young couple feels? When they see that, why would God allow them to have a baby that they don't even want? It'd be real easy for bitterness to set in. And this is where Hannah's at. You see, in her day and time, it was not cool not to be able to produce. You were looked down on if you were barren. In other words, you're pretty much useless. If you can't have a baby, you're lesser of a woman. That was the status of where she lived. The other women around here are spitting out babies left and right. Hannah could have got bitter. She could have got sideways with God, but she didn't. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse number 10. Let me show you how Hannah dealt with her bitterness. The Bible said she prayed unto the Lord. She prayed unto the Lord. She had jealousy. She had bitterness. And I don't care who you are, you're going to have jealousy and you're going to have bitterness. Amen. You're going to have, I got jealousy issues. I tell you, every time I see one of these county brand new tinted window school buses with that long nose, I'm jealous of that. I think the church ought to have the new ones. We'll give them the used ones we just bought. Amen. Jealousy, bitterness. It'll creep in, man. Y'all okay? That's where she was. But in the spite of her feelings, she prayed unto the Lord. I'm telling you how to battle this thing when you feel it. How many of you know when you can feel it? You feel it setting in. You feel it creeping in your heart. You go from woo to like that. Like that. Lord, teach us to be like Hannah. and pray unto the Lord. Lord, I'm fighting a battle. You got to help me. I know what I'm feeling in my heart's not right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I get mad.
Yeah.
I was out of town preaching. Well, I probably shouldn't tell you. I was out of town preaching sometime back, and I don't remember what it was. Something happened that had me pretty mad. Had something to do with social media. And I was walking around in Walmart in a town where nobody knew who I was. And I said, Lord, would it be odd if I just walk up to somebody and knock a fire out of them? I did. I thought, there ain't nobody know me. I just whoop somebody and get this out of my system. So I looked around for a little fella. And I finally found this little lady with a cane was fixing to take her out. And the Holy Spirit said, if you think it's all right, go ahead. There was actually a little punk with his britches hanging way down. I kind of had my eye on. I'm just trying to show you, man, I'm human too.
Amen.
And when that stuff sets in on you, we need to deal with it immediately. You know what bitterness does? It don't get better. If not dealt with, it gets worse and it grows. It's like a root. The Bible said it is a root of bitterness. A root don't grow up. A root goes down. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And you get to the place where you can't possibly make yourself happy. Amen. What do you do? What do you do? Pray unto the Lord. Man, the Lord's our helper. Amen. The Lord is our helper. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Is that right? Amen. I'm trying to help you to turn bitterness into sweetness. They didn't get a new pool. They didn't get a new pond. They got the one fixed where they were. Not only was it fixed, it was better than normal. Water's not sweet. I drink a lot of it. Used to, I wouldn't. It's just bland. It ain't got no taste. Somebody would drink water and go, oh, that's good water. And I'm like, what are you doing, good water? You got to strain it through something to make it good. Either coffee grounds or tea leaves, one of the two, amen. That's the truth. Water has no taste. But that water was made, the Bible said, sweet. Isn't that amazing how God can do something? He can take a situation and not just fix the situation, but make it totally opposite. Isn't it funny how God, I'm going to use Sister Barbara. Me and Sister Barbara got in a fight one day. I won too. We did. This is back years ago. Years ago, we were out there in the gym, in the kitchen, screaming at one another. Then she followed me out the door. And buddy, we had it out. I don't mean it was like, bless your heart. No. We did everything but cuss. I believe she did, if I remember. I'm telling it, amen. Man, she called me that night. You talk about some sweet fellowship ever since that day. You mess with me, she'll hurt you. She put her arm around me the other day. She just said, I love you. I got in the truck going home, told my wife, I said, you don't know what that meant to me. God took a situation that was ugly and made that thing something totally opposite. Didn't just fix it, he turned it into something precious. Amen. A friendship. How about that? Hannah prayed unto the Lord. When's the last time you asked God? I guarantee you there's no way in a crowd this size ain't somebody in here harboring bitterness. Guarantee, mad about something deep down. It'll kill you. Man, I'm telling you, when you get that bitterness out of your heart, it's almost like getting saved again. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? When that thing is just lifted off of you, man, whoo, I can breathe. I thought about secondly tonight. There's a man named Hezekiah. Isaiah chapter number 37. Hezekiah received a horrible letter from his enemy. So you know what he did? Now, this would be your Facebook crowd right here. So you know what he did with his horrible letter? He wrote one back. No, he didn't. You know what he did with it? The Bible said he took it to the house of the Lord. Instead of firing back, he just took it to God. He just took it to the house of the Lord. I'm trying to tell you how to fix it. Here's what it actually says, Isaiah 37, verse 14. He went up unto the house of the Lord, watch this, and spread it before the Lord. What Hezekiah did was take that thing that was a bad thing, something that could make him very bitter and very, very angry and very mad. And instead of doing that, instead of firing back, he brings that thing to the house of God and he lays it out before God. What are you saying, preacher? Give it to God.
Amen.
Give it to God. The bitterness I had against my dad all those years for leaving when I was a little boy, the anger and the, oh man, it was deep inside. I just had to lay that thing out before God. I prayed right there behind that pulpit and I got delivered, man. I told the Lord, I can't do this. I've said from my lips, I forgive him a million times. But God, I don't know how to get it out of my heart. I want to love my dad. And man, just, oh, it was, I felt it. It was like an exorcism, man. I felt it leave my heart. I felt it leave. And I hadn't seen my daddy in several years. That was on a Sunday night. That Monday night, I'm preaching at Brother Shea's church. Guess who walks in that door? My daddy. And we were close and talked every week till the day he died. Thank God I got that thing dealt with. But what I had to do was get in behind that pulpit right there and lay on my face and say, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. But not only am I offering it to you, I'm begging you to take it.
Amen.
And you know what he did? He took it. He took it. Lastly, and I'm done. Back to our text. Exodus chapter number 15. I want to read this little encounter one more time. We'll start at verse number 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Watch this. How did Moses respond to them? He didn't respond to them. Do you understand that? He didn't say a word to them. The Bible said, answer not a fool according to his folly. He didn't say, well, bless God, if y'all get right with God. He didn't do that. He didn't preach to them. He didn't rip face. I mean, buddy, he just, and Moses prayed.
Amen.
They're back there, rah, 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 rah. And Moses, they murmured against Moses. I would take offense. How about you?
Amen.
Moses don't even respond. He don't even acknowledge their murmuring. He just starts praying. I can just hear him. Lord, they griping again. Is there any way we can fix this water? The Lord said, see that tree? Yeah, cut that tree down, go over. Moses ain't said a word. He goes over and cuts down the tree. They're still yad, 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 yad. He throws the tree in the water, drinks that water, and said, it's good now. He was used to dealing with their nature. I think Moses has gotten to the place that no matter what, he expects. It expects complaining.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? Spiritually, we need to get to the place where no matter what, we might as well expect complaining.
That's right.
I'm serious, heart attack. There was a, I'll tell you how ridiculous people are and can be. There was a church in Alabama, and this is not too awful many years ago. Somebody had told me about it, but I'd never seen it. I drove by the church. They had a new sanctuary. One side of their roof was brown. brown shingles. The other side was green. On a brand new church building. You don't even have to have anybody tell you that story. I bet the brown people sat on that side, the brown side. And the green people sat on the green side. And refused to go on the brown side. And the brown side, how bad is that?
Amen.
That you got to make the house of God an eyesore. Are y'all all right? I promise you, that's not a preacher tale. That's the truth. A group of people couldn't get along no better than that. What got quiet in here? I don't care what color the roof is. I can't see it from here. My focus in this church is what's going on right down here. Y'all all right? Bitterness, 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 bitterness. I've been a part of one major church split in my life. Hadn't been saved but a few months. And there were literally men standing up on this side of the church. We had an amen corner over here, and the deacons sitting over there screaming at deacons over there. I mean, it was bad. I remember watching about 75, 80 people walk out the door like a parade. I'm going to tell you, God ain't in that stuff. And I believe some of them works people start when they do that. Most of them's going to have to die before God can bless it. And God ain't in that. God is not in us fighting. He's not in us fussing. He's in us growing together and going further in our walk and our relationship with the Lord. He's about them bus children getting saved. Amen. He's about daddies going home to mama. Little bitter water. Got them all out of whack. I've had it happen to me over and over again. You've had it happen to you. Preacher missed a hospital visit. Forgot to put you on the prayer line. Whatever the case may be. Stepped on your toes. Hurt your feelings. Made a decision you didn't like. Happens to us all. Happens to us all. What we need to learn to do is what these people did. Pray.
Amen.
Immediately. You know what's hard to do? It's hard to pray when you're mad. It's tough. It makes you pray different if you're not careful. Lord, you said vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Get them. Amen. But we need to pray with the right spirit.
Yes, sir.
So, Lord, I'm mad, I'm hurt, I'm bitter, and I don't want to be. Help me. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.